Mr. Apocalypse is coming. His horizon into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul and listen to this week's comments from Less Visible.
I seem to have my Aru back. Welcome, dear friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Many greetings from the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster. This evening, we are cruising over the American landscape and using the telepathic teleportation device to clue us in to what people are thinking, because the darkness of the election is proceeding to its Tuesday point of maximum thrust. And as we move inexorably toward that point, I'm only guessing here, I think some profound revelations and informations are about to find their way into the public mind through the media, whose usual job is to deceive the public, and which occasionally and incidentally and accidentally informs the public. And I think that will be happening here because, well, as much as they try to cover up or reshape the meaning of events, sometimes they have no choice but to report on it because someone else will, otherwise they'll be caught lying, although that doesn't usually seem to bother them. After all, they are employed and paid by the father of lies, so it stands to reason that lies would be the currency of their being. We live in a world of lies, and anyone who has any interest in the truth knows this. We know what we had to go through in order to find out what actually took place, which bears no resemblance to what the media tells us happened. We learned that Israel did 9/11. We learned that the Sandy Hook massacre was a non-event that was manufactured to ratchet up the public fear, and that it never happened. It was a stage performance that involved crisis actors, just like the Boston Marathon bombing. The unfortunate reality of living in a world of lies is that many people become convinced by them and go along with the programs created by the satanically controlled governments that run their countries. This allows those governments to do awful things to the citizens in their countries, as is presently happening in Europe, where George Soros has funded NGOs that are orchestrating mass influx of violent immigrants into the countries of Europe and using them to foment social unrest. Surely the governments all know that Soros is doing this under orders from the Rothschilds, who are the present first family of Satan upon this earth. Of course, Satan doesn't give a damn about the Rothschilds, but they serve his purposes, and so long as that continues, they will prosper, and once they no longer do, then they'll go to hell. They could well go to hell even as they continue to serve his purposes, because he might whimsically decide one day that he needs a new first family. Treachery is a staple of that particular demographic, even when the players hang around for generations. The only thing that doesn't pass away is the love the Almighty bears for those who love the Almighty. It seems to those who have gone even a short way on the road of sincerity in true love that the cost outweighs the benefits by a considerable margin. This construct exists intentionally at the command of the one who sorts out the deeply committed from the dilettantes and weekend warriors. It is not always so, but a period of probation is standard fare in most any operation. When it comes to matters having to do with the divine, the probation can take all manner of forms. The divine knows every aspect of our being in intricate detail. He, she, knows the measure of our hearts and minds, and as such will take us upon the journey fitting of our real intentions. This is how we get those outrageous preachers who travel the globe in private airplanes and who milk the bloody nickels of third world hells. This is where we get all those corrupt swamis who use their yogic powers to entrance and manipulate the searchers who are seeking after knowledge and understanding. We all seem to need some kind of external being to make us feel safe and loved. We are all too often deceived in this regard. We're only going to find what we seek within ourselves. And any true teacher will tell you this and won't charge you any money for it either. They will make you pay with certain experiences that are designed to bring you to a state of understanding and higher awareness. You may not pay in the currency of this realm, but you will pay in effort and trial. There is no other way to discover whether you have what it takes or not. It is true that circumstances are often difficult for those of us who love the ineffable. It can be fraught with difficulties. And sometimes it can seem to be so in those examples that history reminds us of, that nothing but great sacrifice was gained in the lives of some. But this is only one side of the Mobius strip of existence on this side of the coin. Here it appears that the strong and willful take what they want and no one gets in their way. They cause grave injury wherever they go. They foment wars for the purpose of personal profit. They loan out money at usurious rates and destroy the lives of those who are unable to pay what they owe of the ghost money that these fiends printed out of thin air. They seem to die fat, happy, and prosperous, but that is only one side of the Mobius strip. There is a much wider world in the invisible, and levels of well-being and prosperity exist there that cannot be experienced here. I'm not talking about pie-in-the-sky heaven when you die. I'm talking about places more real than the one we presently find ourselves in. Faith is a very important aspect of the journey, as are certitude and determination. The latter two are extensions of the first and come out of one of the pillars of Islam called the Declaration of Faith. I am no follower of Islam in the usual sense. I am a fan of Sufism, which I was introduced to by Guru Bawa. Should you be in the Philadelphia area, you can go by the ashram at 5820 Overbrook Avenue. I still remember the address. I don't know what goes on there these days. There used to be a beautiful lawn in front of the place, but when Bawa passed, the junta that took over had the lawn paved and put in parking places, and then had their titles or names painted onto them. I had to laugh when I found out about that. As you can imagine, I was persona non grata there. Bawa liked me, though. Still, there would be good people around there, still, and you might get something from a visit. Just stay away from the political animals who are probably running the day-to-day and doing the usual posturing and preening from their elevated states of consciousness. I have often thought about what a relief it would be to live in an ashram, and I've attempted to do this, but the power games that go on in them are beyond my capacity to endure. I usually worked in the kitchen, and that was always a bright spot for me, since I love to cook, and have done it all my life, and that has included having a couple of restaurants and sundry. Working in an ashram kitchen was always the best location, since the most service-oriented and good-humored people usually work there. I've come to find that the ashram is wherever you are, if you are in that consciousness, as it is supposed to exist, and so rarely does. In Pune, India, there is a Rajneesh Osho complex that is half casino and half amusement park. When you go in there, you have to turn your money into Osho cash, and you don't get to convert it back, which means it all has to be spent there. Hopefully you know not to convert too much. They got all kinds of high-end programs there for the trust funder types who have it on their globe-trotting itinerary as one of the materialist stations of the cross. You literally have to pay for everything there, and the staff abuses you all the way, and that, I guess, is considered a perk. I've never been a fan of the man, but his followers are truly something else. I'm guessing it's an Israeli operation by this time. Oh, my God. You really should go on the internet, look up this ashram in Pune, and read the comments that people have made about what happened to them when they went there. Hilarious and deeply saddening as well. God is everywhere, so I'm guessing that means we can be anywhere. At one point in my life, I spent 22 months in a maximum security ward for the criminally insane. I spent a lot of time fasting and meditating. When friends would come to visit me, they began to look more imprisoned than I was. When I got out, the whole world looked like a prison camp to me. And it did for some time, but I was free. It was one of the most exhilarating periods of my life. Of course, one always winds up being integrated back into the mix, and that happened to me. For some reason, I did not have the fortitude to stay the course every moment of the day. And so I have always had to come back again and again to seek that level of awareness that has come upon me for certain lengths of time previously. The same thing happens when one takes an LSD trip. You can find yourself in wondrous, luminous lands of the mind, but eventually you come down, and eventually you are back in the mix. So, well, we are now seeking to achieve that state again at a more permanent level, so we are using more permanent mediums for success in the venture. You will find that life can be a serious business. You will find that it can take everything you have and more than you ever thought you even possessed. This path is not for the timid or the ever vacillating. You may fail many times in the course of your journey, but as certainly as you pick yourself up and continue on your way, you cannot fail. It does not take superior intelligence or great force of will. These can be detriments as well as assets. What it takes is the firm conviction that God is real and the certitude that you will find the ineffable as soon as it means more to you than anything else. As long as there are other things to distract you in your quest will be delayed commensurately. This part of the operation is simplicity itself. Merely want the divine more than any other thing, and you will have discovered the great secret of the process. It is all about making it the supreme objective in your life. It is not about all of the other complexities that, well, seem to be the items to surmount. These will vanish like the dew on the grass before the majesty of the rising sun. The complexities are only the combined tricks of the mind that seek to keep the monkey mind side of the equation paramount in the game. The monkey mind is a tyrant and a dictator. The mind is the devil, and it must be brought under control, just as the demon under Shiva Nataraja's foot must be kept firmly in place so that Shiva can dance. Your mind, your untrained mind, is your greatest enemy. A trained mind is subservient to you and then becomes your greatest friend. This is an important thing to keep in mind. The mind can really be your greatest friend once you have taught it to obey. What we are engaged in is nothing new. This journey has been undertaken by many souls across the extensive reach of time, and the majority of them await the opportunity to assist you now, should you pass their way. You have many friends you don't know about who wait on the other side and who work from the other side into this side and who even move invisibly among us here. I should point out that only a very few of those who have taken this route manage to complete the requirements of the passage. Once again, as the New Testament puts it, many are called, but few are chosen. Some very talented people have set out on this course and failed. And some simple-minded types have also set out upon this course and succeeded. There is no telling how you and your character will match up against what the inevitable requires of you. And what that is could well vary from aspirant to aspirant. The conditions might have to do with past lives. And it could well have to do with the degree of generosity of your spirit and the degree of love that you contain. It could well be that all your credentials might be most impressive on this side of the Mobius Strip and worth nothing at all on the other side. One should not presume to know what the divine wants from us or what the divine values more than something else. We do this when we replace God with ourselves and graft onto God our own desires as if our desires were God's desires, and often they are not. Then again, sometimes they are, but it is never wise to presume on this. It is always best to say, I don't know. And that is the case, and it is the case far more often than we may think. One of the things the Ineffable appreciates in us more than anything else is humility. It stands to reason this is a good quality for the aspirant to lock onto. Okay, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. Our world should be in the process of great change come this Tuesday.
Strong and best tall and slender.
That said,
and hail
our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Mami Taba. Much
you'll
love, Lady Angels. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh.
If you get hit quiet,
Guru Bawa.
Coming for the sun, and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view, just like the sun. He's bringing love and truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.